Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
And the devil will not show up at your house with a red suit and two horns and a pitchfork saying, I want to kill you. Let me in. I want to destroy your family and your future. I want to send you to hell. Can I come in? Oh, yeah, come in. You want like something for eat? Come. We're not going to do that. See, the devil might be defeated, but he's not stupid. He's extremely crafty.
Welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a message Pastor Wayne did from a series called No Other Gods. Pastor Wayne will help us learn to discern some of the subtle idols Satan puts in our way, and he'll show us how, if we're not on the alert, we might become enslaved to their power. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Slave Maker Gods.
Well, I tell you, there's all kinds of addictions. How many of you are addicted to shopping? Raise your hand. Yeah. Some husbands are raising their wife's hands here. How many of you are addicted to coffee? Raise your hand. I'm not. Okay, good. How many of you are addicted to television sports? Raise your hand. Yeah, wives are raising husbands' hands now. You know, I tell you, the grim fact is that in America, there are more addictions than we may ever realize. In President Bush's press release a year ago, here's what he said as the results of America's health checkup. Pretty sobering. Here it is. Number one, 14 million are addicted to alcohol. 14 million Americans. 16.6 million are addicted to drugs. In fact, he said that if drug treatment for the drug addicts could be removed, because say everybody gets off of that addiction, it would save $150 billion in social costs over the next 15 years. $150 billion. Addiction to nicotine has added another $138 billion to this country's financial burden last year. Do you understand how much is being sapped out of our economy just because of our own addictions? Over $250 billion a year. Now, the results of the kind of society we live in, listen to the consequences. Now, these are all associated with either drug or alcohol. Here it is. 62%, he said, of all the assaults or beatings are caused by either alcohol or drug-related. 54% of all murders, 68% of all manslaughter charges somehow connected to drugs or alcohol. And I know that to be true. I visit the prison from time to time, and I find that all of these people in for murder or rape or child abuse or whatever, manslaughter, for stealing or theft, most of them are all caused by somehow being influenced by or going after money to get drugs or alcohol. They were drunk or whatever, and this thing happened. I thought, my goodness. Listen to this. 50% of all domestic abuse somehow connected or associated with drug or alcohol. 42% of all rapes and 70% of all child abuse cases. Nearly 35% of all suicides. Isn't that amazing? See the results of all of this. You say, these are amazing results. They're bad consequences. And we all know that addictions are not just confined to substance abuse. I mean, there's gambling addiction, sexual addiction, eating addiction, and much, much more. So you say, well, Wayne, what's an addiction? How is it defined? Simply, an addiction is a habitual compulsion or an uncontrollable craving that causes a person to act in such a way that even though he knows what he is doing is harmful to himself and his future, he can't stop himself. That's a dangerous place to be in, though you know that it's hurting you. And I'll say to people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol, you know it's killing your marriage. I know. But they can't stop themselves. You think, man, they're a slave. That's exactly what the Bible says. Let's read at the top of our notes out of 2 Peter. Ready? Go. By what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Yep. You see, it all began with the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. When God said, the very first commandment, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. The reason he said that is because there is a very grave possibility for many other gods to be before him, even in today's society. You say, well, wait a minute. You can check my room. I don't have any stone figurines there or wooden gods carved that I bow before or even porcelain ones. I don't have any of those. That's maybe true, but I think we're realizing that the gods of this age are not necessarily made out of stone or clay or wood. We may not see them, but you can tell that they're there by the results of their presence in our lives. Well, what do you mean? Well, when the children of Israel began following wrong gods, listen to the results. First thing, Baal and Asheroth. You know what they were? Baal is a fertility god. Asheroth is a female deity. When they were following wrong gods, one of the things that happened was this. Sexual impurity became normal. In fact, they even worshiped this lifestyle. It became vogue. And with this Asheroth, or the female deity, and Baal, they would actually have sexual illicit impurity kinds of things going on, and that would be a part of their worship. It became vogue, like, wow, this is really cool. Not only that, murders took place and wars. When they followed the wrong gods, there was assaults, families turning against one another and killing one another, rebellion. The land became more and more barren, and there was disrespect for people. And men became haters of God, the true God. They didn't want him even to be mentioned in public. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's exactly the society in which we live, because the false gods are prevalent. Now, there's a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to addiction. But let me just say to you, if that word describes you, get help immediately. And if you have a loved one in that condition, help that person. You see, there's a saying that says, the eye cannot see the eye. Which means that if I've got some problem with this eye, I've got to have someone else help me because I can't see it. There's going to be times in people's lives and in your loved ones' lives, they can't see their own addiction. You've got to help them. But let me talk a little bit about the early stages of what causes us to fall into maybe not that drastic an addiction, but on the road to that, where our lives are controlled nevertheless. And how do we walk confidently in this society of slave-making gods and walk with confidence and stay out of the enemy's traps so that we can actually have the boldness and stability to release and free those who are caught in the snare of that enemy's trap. Now, we've got to remember that the devil is very crafty. We read about the devil in the Old Testament and say, you know, look at this. The devil's not really that prominent here. Oh, be careful. See, the devil might be defeated, but he's not stupid. He's extremely crafty, extremely. And the devil will not show up at your house with a red suit and two horns and a pitchfork saying, I want to kill you. Let me in. I want to destroy your family and your future. I want to send you to hell. Can I come in? Oh, yeah, come in. You want like something for you? Come. We're not going to do that. So you know what he does? He becomes much more crafty. But what is his goal? So you might not see what he looks like, but look at his goal. His goal is to steal, to kill, and to what? To destroy. In fact, in the Bible times, you would see people possessed where they would have uncontrolled actions to do what the enemy would have them to do, and they can't control it. Now, you would see them frothing at the mouth, etc., and you'd say, wow, there's none of that here. Nah. Well, you say, that's like the exorcist stuff in horror movies. We're not involved in that. Right. So the enemy sees, ooh, America won't accept that. So we've got to make sure I get the same results, but in a more acceptable way. So he takes evil and shows you the beautiful side of evil. Same toxin, but we buy into it now. So he does it I'm not going to give this as a conclusive thing, but I think that there are still possession in America as prevalent as there was in the Bible times, but it's more acceptable now. Wherein when someone is addicted to something, there's a compulsion to do something when even he knows that it's destroying his family, his future, his marriage, his legacy, but he can't stop himself until he finally kills himself. And you think about that and you think, you know, the results, same. But what he's done is he's taken possession and he's made it into an acceptable way. Look at what I just read, what's happening to America. and the billions and billions of dollars it's costing us, and the untold millions of people who are in prison today and families that are destroyed. Do you understand the devastating effects? And nobody seems to notice. So we say, oh, yeah, but that's a possession in the Bible times. We won't have that. But look at the effects. Same thing, only worse than Bible times. Worse. 100 times worse. And we say, no, we're fine. You see, we become possessed in a civil way. We're a lot more civilized about it now. It's beautiful. It's nice. Nobody seems to notice. It's acceptable. Yeah, I got some in my family. I know that it's touching on this because just some time ago, I did a funeral for a girl here, beautiful young lady in Honolulu, who was on cocaine, and we're trying to get her off of this cocaine stuff, and she was chasing it with crystal meth, and she was saying that she was starting to hear voices telling her that she could fly. You think, well, that's dumb. Well, let me tell you, I did her funeral because she jumped off a 12-story building because she thought she could fly. Do you know how devastating it is to do a funeral for a beautiful young lady who thought she could fly because she heard voices? But the Bible speaks about how crafty the enemy is, and he wants to steal and to kill and to destroy. So what are the causes of this? You say, Wayne, how do you get that far? Well, let's rewind the tape and let's start and let's take a look at some of the causes, because this is where we are right now. A lot of us aren't at the end here. We're right at the beginning. So how do we detect these early warning signs? What are those early warning signs? Let me give you four, and they all start with D. Here it is. The first one, desires uncontrolled. Desires uncontrolled. We call them cravings, where you crave for something and you just gotta have it to the point where you jettison or throw out faith or family or anything. I gotta have that relationship with that woman. I know she's married, but I gotta have it. And you just completely destroy everything else in order for that. I gotta have this car, and I just go into debt to get it. I gotta have this, or I gotta have that. 100% of things that have come to you through craving all fail. You look at those people that had to have that relationship. Years later, they're broken up themselves after they've broken up one family. Now another gets broken up, and then another. Be careful. Whenever you have a craving, in fact, a craving is one of the characteristics that we must not tolerate. And when there's a craving for something, gotta have that car, gotta have that car, defy that. Just kill it. Just defy it. Just say, no, I ain't. Just because I crave that car, I'm not going to get it. Just go ahead and tell yourself that. And then say this. Watch this. I bet I don't buy that car and I'll still be alive tomorrow without it. In other words, it ain't going to kill me to not get that car. Just try it and watch. You'll be better off, in fact. Because you see, the danger of craving is it throws you into an uncontrollable thing that you're allowing to take place in your life. Not all of our desires are godly desires. You have to be careful to decide and make sure you have truth from error. Because if you're not careful, and if craving becomes a god, then you will go after this thing that you crave. And you know that going after a married woman or a married man is not right, but you'll put it aside. You'll actually displace truth for error. That's what craving does. It becomes a god, makes you a slave to it, and you get rid of all the things that are wise and reasonable, and you go after that thing. You go into debt, you go and you steal, you do anything to go after, you maneuver, you manipulate this relationship, and it'll kill you in the end. So it becomes a god. So the first is desires that are uncontrollable or cravings. Defy it. Make sure that you're not following that. Another one that's a trigger point that makes us very susceptible to these kinds of slave maker gods is, would you write, the next D is discouragement. When you're discouraged with your wife or your family or your husband, be very careful, because when you get discouraged, you start looking for escape routes. When you're depressed or discouraged or disheartened, don't let it make you foolish. It's so easy to let depression or discouragement or just a disheartenment make you foolish. Don't. It'll get you desperate. So be very careful. You'll become susceptible to the enemy. And number three, dreams that are broken, or broken dreams. Third D, dreams that are broken, broken dreams. We all have broken dreams. And when you have a broken dream or a broken expectation, you become very susceptible to the enemy. You say, oh, I might as well just forget it then. Oh, I thought he was going to be a good husband, and look, he's doing this. Well, forget it then. If he's going to do that, I'm going to do the same thing. If he's going to have an affair, I'm just going to go out to the bars then. And these broken dreams make you so desperate, and you become susceptible. Be very, very careful. Listen carefully now. If you've got a dream pitted on something, and it's supposed to come to pass in your life, don't let it go. And even if it seems broken, if it's of God, no person's mistakes or sin is going to thwart God's dream for your life. He will resurrect it back. He will bring it back from the dead if it's supposed to be with you. But if it's not, then don't fight over it. If it's not, if God takes it away, it's okay. It's all right. Because God's going to take care of you, and there's a greater dream still. Always correct back to the greatest dream of all, and that is this: you and Jesus make a majority. And with that, you're okay. If you don't have that, you will start to desire or demand and then get desperate for other things. Let God have it. And there's sometimes you're dating and say you have a dream of, oh, you know, Harry Hunk over there. I really want to get involved with Harry Hunk. And say it doesn't work out. Oh, we get so mad. Oh, I'm going to die if I don't have Harry. Yeah. Listen, if that's a broken dream, if God has Harry Hunk for you, he will bring him back around. And it'll be hunky-dory. And but if not, okay, I try, all right. But if not, listen, if there's a broken dream and he doesn't bring it back, don't go after it. Don't maneuver. Don't manipulate it. Because the Bible says, every plant that my heavenly Father does not plant will be uprooted. If it doesn't come from the Father, don't maneuver it. Don't manipulate it. Because if you do, by hook or crook, and you get that relationship, you think you're sorrowful now, you wait till later. You haven't seen nothing yet. So if there's a brokenness, leave it to God. If it's God's, he'll bring it back. If not, don't go manipulate it. Because if it's not of the Lord and he breaks it, that may be the way, the only way he could get it out of your hand is to have that thing broken so that you let it go. Because God knows your future. So trust him, trust him. So broken dreams, the third D. The fourth D, dumb friends. I made that one up myself, can you tell? Dumb friends, yeah. Peer pressure. You know, I cannot tell you how dangerous this one is. If you don't choose friends wisely, you know, the first time I started smoking was because of friends. My friends were all smoking. I said, come on, man, you wimp. And they're smoking. I was in sixth grade. So I went down into the locker room. I got a Marlboro cigarette. And I got onto this little, stall. And I lit this thing up. And, man, I inhaled. And it just exploded in my lungs. It was like I was on fire. Ah! I mean, I wasn't like our former President Clinton. I inhaled. Man. It burned my lungs. And then you know what? You think I stopped? No, what do you think I did? Yeah, I took another drag. And I kept doing that until I burned my lungs completely so I could smoke. And then I was cool with my friends, you see. Oh, man. Same thing is true with the drugs. It was because friends invited me to a party and said, hey, try this, man. Hey, take a hit on this. Wow, man, I tell you, this one, yeah, drop this acid. Yeah, this will get you really high. Oh, what a high. And so though I go into all of that. I tell you, be careful. Be careful of dumb friends. You say, Wayne, what's this big deal about drugs all the time? Come on, you know, I mean, because you're going to have friends try to reason with you and say, hey, come on, you know, your friends are going to say, hey, I take drugs, you know, another one will say, hey, look, I took drugs and I'm okay. didn't hurt me. You know? Why is it so dangerous? Let me just say this. It has nothing to do, although it does mess up your brain and other things, let me tell you something about a spiritual principle that you might not understand. In Galatians 5:19, it speaks about the deeds of the flesh, or if you involve yourself or practice it, it leads to death or destruction. Now, it says this. Here's the deeds of the flesh. I'll just give you the first few. It says immorality, impurity, sensuality, and listen to these next two. Idolatry, and sorcery or witchcraft. King James says witchcraft. He says sorcery and witchcraft. I ain't going to be involved in that stuff. A lot of are. They don't even know it. How? You know what the word, Greek word for witchcraft is that we translate into witchcraft? It's a Greek word, pharmakeia. Does that sound like any word that we use today? Pharmacy. You say, well, how did that connect? Let me give you the etymology of it. In the old days, they used to get off on some drug like the Indians would peyote, and it would take them into a trance that was supposed to enhance their communion with the spirits. What it does is it opens your mind and your spirit for these things to come in and have this communion with the spirits. Called pharmakeia, and it was a part of witchcraft. It was a part of sorcery. So they'd get off on these drugs and go into this trance, and it would open their spirit and their minds up to have this involvement with the spirits. And they would go into a witchcraft seance. And so that word pharmakeia is witchcraft. Now remember, the devil's defeated, but he's not stupid. He's very crafty. And he wants to bring witchcraft into your home, into your family, into your life, so that he can be having involvement in everything that you do, to change your default system so that you think differently. And after a while, your mind is very worldly. How come? How come I'm struggling so much? And what happens is the devil comes in and we do dope or we do drugs. We think it's no big deal. But the Bible says that's exactly the word pharmakeia, to open your spirit up to the spirits of this world, and they go in and start tweaking and adjusting. And that's exactly what happens. That's why it's so dangerous, because it causes you to go out of control or into this, woo, you think it feels good. Well, sure, it's like anesthetic. They can give you a feel-good anesthetic drug so you feel good, and they cut your leg off and you don't feel a thing, but feels so good. Feels good until they're done and you get back to normal and you realize you lost your family. You lost your kids. You lost your legacy. You lost your future. Do you understand how subtle and crafty the enemy is? And he's got to bring in his ways into your life and into America in a way that we accept it, not reject it. So be real careful of that. Well, you say, well, Wayne, how then? Because we don't go that far, but how can we recognize the beginning points of these slave maker gods that reel us in without us even knowing it? Well, let me give you three principles that'll help you walk confidently in the midst of these slave maker gods waiting to possess people's futures, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And because of that dumb friends thing is so important, here it is. Number one, would you write down number one, choose friends wisely. Choose friends wisely. I cannot tell you, that's one of the most important decisions you'll make. Can't tell you how important that is. One of the most important decisions you'll make in your life. Friends that are good friends are those who will protect your future and usher you towards God's best, not away from. If there's a friend that's coercing you away from God's best, that's a dumb friend. Don't stay with them. Choose friends wisely. Let's read what Proverbs 13 says. Ready? Go. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools will suffer. Pretty straightforward. Let's read the next one. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if we're walking with dumb friends or bad friends and it's corrupting good morals, the Bible says you are being what? Deceived, yeah. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, let me just read it to you and see how a father is speaking to his son about peer pressure. Check this out. My son, if sinners entice you, don't you consent. If they say, come on with us, let's lie in wait for somebody. Let's ambush someone. And we shall find all kinds of precious wealth, which means let's beat them up. Let's lie in ambush, beat them up, and take their wallet, take their money. Go in and steal. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, they say. We shall have one purse. You know what they're saying? Is this, people will say, come on, think like we do. We all have one purse, which means draw your values, your perspective out of the same thing that we are drawing our perspective out of. Hey, think like us. We're a gang, we're a bud, we're homies. Come on, let's do it together. And then it says, my son, the father continues, don't you walk in the way with them.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Slave Maker Gods. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us how we can learn to find godly contentment so that we're not always reaching and searching for that elusive dream. Until this same time, next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited spaces available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.